Welcome to the Power Cat Podcast, the original K-State sports show. Here's your host, Tim Fitzgerald.
Welcome to another edition of the Power Cat Podcast. I am Fitz, rolling solo again, probably doing it all summer. Give little Ryan Gilbert some downtime. Some downtime. Seven great questions from Wabash Station. If you're not familiar with the Power Cat Podcast, it's here free for all to watch or listen to, but you got to be a subscriber at Go Power Cat to ask the actual questions. And lucky for you, we're having a sale right now. Head on over to Go Power Cat, click that green join button and check it out. Make sure you're ready to go all summer long for the fall. So much is happening in K-State sports, and yet not that much news is coming out because we have apparently seen the hiring of two head coaches at Kansas State, and Colin Klein and Casey Alexander, who run a pretty quiet ship. But like I said, I got some great questions today from Wabash Station that run the gamut of K-State sports. We'll even wander into a little baseball, something we don't talk much about, because honestly, the people that want baseball coverage want it, and nobody else. They even in good times, baseball content doesn't play that well. But these are not good times right now for K-State baseball. But let's get going with your questions from Wabash Station. As I mentioned, we got seven, and I got to say this before we roll. Mr. Tossback, Ken, has asked one of the best questions, comprehensive questions, that I've had in this podcast in a long time. And we're going to get into it in a second, but this could go long or it could go short. I don't script any of this. My sense is this will be a longer answer. It'll be in depth. I'll meander a little bit because it's a very complex issue, a lot of moving parts here. So I hope to go ahead and continue with the other questions, but I could go for 40 minutes on this. Let's see. First, I got to read the darn thing, and it used every character available, as Mr. Tossback will do. Here we go. Similarities between Klein and Snyder, which I've mentioned in the past, given the rapid financial structure changes to college football, enrollment cliff, etc., is Klein under similar secure the future of K-State pressure as Bill Snyder was? That's for Mr. Tossback. What he's talking about is if you're a younger fan, maybe you've heard the story, but when John Weifel decided to hire a new football coach, it was going to be either the last one or one that was going to save the program. That's where K-State football was. It was so bad that it was becoming pointless. And the university was in severe decline. When I was leaving K-State, I think we were around 16K. And then in 1988, after that season, they fired Stan Parrish as head coach and hired Bill Snyder. He made the decision to keep going and try it one more time. And quickly, Bill Snyder, it became very clear that these two men were either going to oversee the ending of football and a lot of stuff related to Kansas State being in the Big Eight and seen as a power in the sports world in some ways. It was basketball back then. Or they would save things. And it went farther than that. As Mr. Tossback relates here, pretty soon Bill Snyder wasn't just saving the football program. He was saving the university. Enrollment spiked up to around 24K, an incredible growth, in big part because of Bill Snyder and the success of college football in Manhattan, Kansas, which had never been seen before. Those images of the football stadium, KSU Stadium at the time, just absolutely rocking, were pure marketing gold for Kansas State, and kids from all over the state of Kansas and Kansas City wanted to be part of that. The town grew, enrollment grew. This town evolved in ways you could never understand. Now we have a highway named after the man leading into town, and the football stadium itself is named after Bill Snyder. Bill Snyder didn't just save K-State football with the help of John Weifel, who I don't think is appreciated enough to this day because he kind of petered out at the end. Never remember a person's accomplishment for how it ended, but what they actually did. John Weifel saved Kansas State University and hired Bill Snyder, who then came on board and did the same thing. K-State slipping backwards is where K-Ned's at with this. It's going the wrong direction. And they brought in Richard Linton to try to stop that. He's not the same team builder that John Weefald was. He's not the fiery, you know, go get things done and motivate people, even in his own kind of goofy way. Richard Lynn's his own man, a little bit more edge to him, possibly. And now we've seen Colin Klein come back. The irony being Colin Klein's only memory of Kansas State football was the greatness Bill Snyder built, because Colin played in Snyder 2.0. After the 2003 championship and two bad seasons that followed, Bill Snyder stepped down, Ron Prince came in, and then they had to bring Coach Snyder back. And it kind of got back to the good times rolling again. But the honest truth about Snyder 2.0 is that you can never go back in time. What happened from 95, basically, maybe 93, the Copper Bowl, I guess, would start it technically, but really got going 95 and then 97, was unbelievable. It never was going to happen at Kansas State. Football would never visit these parts, and yet it did. And football success continued to build. And the purple wave that would overcome opposing cities and bowl destinations was real, was tangible, it was unbelievable to see. It was unbelievable to be a part of. 40,000 K-State fans filling highways, filling stadiums, hotel rooms, and downtown streets of destinations such as San Diego and Phoenix and other places. It was an amazing time for K-State fans. And the energy around the institution just really put everything in the level of momentum, put it all in motion. It was incredible. Colin comes in perilous times for Kansas State. There isn't a good vibe on campus. There just isn't. Enrollment has ticked back up. At least it's been stabilized. As KNAD said, if you don't know about the enrollment cliff, you should probably go look at that, because all institutions, maybe the South will be a little bit insulated by it, are going to see incredible birth rate drops in their areas where they pull most of their students, K-State included. Many, mostly in the East Coast area. There will be significant drops in population. So this is where it gets a little bit long, if that wasn't already. Colin Klein does face that. He does carry that weight, because if K-State can get rocking and rolling in football once again, enrollment will come up. Yeah, it will. That's probably the biggest reason you can make an argument for the university, or at least the state of Kansas, showing support for athletics financially. Now, University of Kansas has made a very controversial decision to support athletics through the general fund of the university. A university like Kansas State and all other campuses in the state of Kansas that are underfunded, there's a feeling that the faculty has been kind of stalemated in efforts to get raises, as the number of administrators has always grown at every academic institution, and we grow farther and farther away from affordable land-grant education in Manhattan, Kansas. I'm opposed to general funds going to athletics. Always have been. This morning's Daily Delivery revisited some numbers, so I won't get into that. Go watch that. Revisited numbers that came out a couple days ago that have been refined and added to and more precise, but K-State is still well behind to its peers in the Big 12 Conference. The numbers don't look good. So if you're the state of Kansas, you need to understand this. If you don't want your universities to fail, to drive off that enrollment cliff without helping, just say it. But the truth is, most students don't pick these schools for academics. Now, Kansas might make the argument that if you want to be a lawyer or doctor, yeah, you can come to KU, but you can get those early parts of your education at Kansas State. In fact, a lot of doctors come through Kansas State. Apparently, K-State's human body class is total prep work for med schools that looks great on your resume, or so I've been told. You have to keep up the academics, there's no doubt, but the truth is most students pick based on other stuff. Hey, this school offers my degree, but what's it like there? Is it thriving? Will I be able to pick up a good vibe? Is it a fun place? Like, for example, you can turn on the TV and see kids having a lot of fun at football games or basketball games. Athletics is your front porch. John Riefald knew it. What he did proved it. And some people in the academic world still want to deny it. The sky is not green. It is blue. You don't get to choose reality based on your feelings. You should deal with reality. And the reality is, it is the front porch of any academic institution that is in a power conference. It is your greatest marketing and advertising. It gets people on campus and gets them in that house like a front porch will do. It's inviting. It brings them in. And oh yeah, you want to take a tour of the rooms, which are the academics. The state of Kansas has to put money into college athletics, period. End of story. They have to find a way to do it. I've always been opposed to it. But when you start looking at the financials going in college athletics, and now the nobility of not taking money from students or the general fund or the state is idiotic. You can't do it anymore. K-State is falling well behind, and KU got money from their institution, but that has not played well in Lawrence, nor should it. You know me. I've been railing for legalization of cannabis in the state of Kansas. People are consuming. They're going across the borders and paying tax money to other states. It is idiotic not to do it. It is idiotic not to take cannabis now that it's being the level that it's at in the federal government. It's not a Schedule I drug anymore, nor should it ever been. That was just purely politics. Pharmaceutical companies protecting their asses. And there's a reason why, because the stuff does help. Believe me, I know. I'm not just some stoner. I'd never once tried it in my life until I got cancer. I say all this because cannabis sales would raise a tremendous amount of money. And if you earmark those for college campuses and college athletics in particular, think about it. You would take something that so many of us want, and even if you did medical only, I think you're silly to do that because it'll overwhelm doctors with, you know, prescription requests or whatever the process is, and people will still get it. I mean, I'll probably have friends call me if we ever had medical marijuana to go buy them stuff, and of course, I wouldn't do that because it's illegal, but we shouldn't have to do that. But if we can get medical first and prove that we're not going to turn into reefer madness and there's going to be a bunch of stoners and, you know, people scratching their neck with addiction, it is not physically addictive. And if you think it is, go read a book. Go read something about it. Like sports gambling, you don't get withdrawals from marijuana. You do from alcohol. You do from alcohol. And all that could be funneled right into college sports. Colin Klein doesn't bear this weight by himself, but there's no doubt that his success in football could energize the entire institution. And if it happens a second time within a lifetime at the same institution where we see an enrollment spike following football success, I propose that any faculty member who denies the reality of that be dismissed, that it should be cause for termination. A little radical, I know. I don't know, folks. I don't like where Kansas State's headed at all. At all. The university is being asked to compete at a level financially with other athletic departments that it can't, and particularly can't without support of the state. Again, I've always opposed state contributions to college athletics, but everything's changed. And it might be time to get busy doing it. Up next is 3G Wildcat. How long do you think before the current NIL structure becomes unsustainable for most teams, or in this case, universities? I've been saying for a while that I think there's going to be some athletic departments that without intervention from state budgets, without, you know, the leaders of their states coming in and saying, we're going to bail you out again, someone's going to go into default. They're not going to be able to pay their bills. They're not. This has been a problem with college athletics for a long time. Let's be really blunt here. they overspend. They don't obey the budget because they know the university or the state has their back. And Cal, what Cal does is unbelievable. You should be running college athletics as a business within your institution. It should be financially stable, and it might need money from outside to stay competitive, but you should be able to set a budget and live in that budget. But so much of at college athletics for years has been good old boys, former coaches, or you know, just guys that have been in athletics their whole lives, coming up through the ranks and becoming ADs. Doesn't work anymore. Unless you get them young, you know, and you find some guys that might be having a little more business entrepreneurial background. I've had some interesting discussions about the whole concert idea. I don't think it's going to happen at Kansas State. Not with this administration. I just don't. I think there's an attitude that we just need to hit a home run with get money from the state and we'll be fine. Or get money from Manhattan, which is apparently going on, which Manhattan's really rolling in it. Why don't you go out and ask the homeless people for some money for athletics? I mean, it's gotten to the point of absurdity. Concerts don't work is kind of the thinking around. And yet everyone around them is doing it, including Oklahoma State, that not only did it to great success. And yes, it's a cultural thing down there that worked really well, and they leveraged it for millions of dollars. They did it again, and they'll do it again next year. Pretty amazing decision for something that doesn't work. Those departments who don't get creative financially, who don't start milking the cow for money, honestly, and not in a bad way, not saying, hey, we're going to double the ticket prices. You're going to have to do some of that. But the fact that Kansas State still isn't bringing in any income from alcohol sales inside the stadium bowl, where you can sit in your regular poor boy seats out there, not your fancy suite or your chair back. You're just a commoner. I never thought I'd see a time when Kansas State would be a caste system, but it is. Those who have access to alcohol don't want you to have it. I don't know why. Because they want to have the walk out of the gate and go get a drink at halftime, and maybe they never come back. That's got to stop. Alcohol net sales needs to go stadium wide. You can put your Bible thumping away. It's happening everywhere, and it's not Sodom and Gomorrah. Selling beer is not going to solve the problem. Having concerts is not going to solve the problem. Doing a bunch of other stuff, little things there and here and there, is not going to solve the problem. All of them will help solve the problem. All of them will send a message that you as a university are doing everything in your power to solve these financial issues. It's not sustainable what's going on. Someone's going to need to break as a department for the wake-up call. I mean, right now, athletic departments are like a bunch of teenagers racing their cars around town at 80 miles an hour. Sure is fun. We're just getting it. We're just doing it. We're just doing our thing. And then somebody puts it into a wall. Changes everything, doesn't it? Yeah, someone's going to go broke. Someone is. Some state's going to say, no, we don't have the money. We can't keep bailing you out. When that happens, a lot of people will wake up. But I hope Kansas State isn't one of those places. And right now, they're dead set on being that. You can't fall behind financially. You better start getting creative or understand this. What Bill Snyder saved Kansas State from, dropping down to the Missouri Valley. Well, they won't drop down to the Missouri Valley. K-State will always have football. They won't be in a power conference if you can't sustain the money financially. K-State's one of those schools that'll be in peril if they don't figure out how to attack this issue with zeal. There's a lot more things I could say about that, but let's move on to the next one. Boy, we're pushing 20 minutes already. Wildcat Pilot 88 with a fun question. Skylar Thompson, Adrian Martinez, Will Howard, and Avery Johnson all have 1 year left of eligibility. I took out a word there. Who are you picking to start for your football team? They're all same age, 1 year of eligibility left, and you could have any of them. In the comments, I want your answer. down in the comments, give me your answer, whether the comments are on YouTube or Apple Podcasts or, of course, at GoPowerCat.com. Who's your pick out of those last four quarterbacks? I'd probably would go with Skyler because the kid was a warrior. Will, that year of that they won the Big 12 championship, it wouldn't have happened without him, obviously, because Adrian got hurt. You know, I'll tell you this. The one guy would be number four is Adrian Martinez because I just don't know that his style fit. It was a bandage, and it worked well, didn't it? It got him through enough, and then Will took over and got it, and then Will just never clicked fully for him. So I think number two would be Avery. I know some of you will be surprised by that, but get back to me after this season. It would be right or really wrong. So that's where I'm at. Skyler and Avery would be my choices. Up next, Mountain Dew Cat 74 with new coaches, Klein or Alexander, new coach has the most successful first season? Which coach reaches the postseason first? For me, this is easy. The momentum right now is behind Colin Klein. Now, people have asked me, I get this all the time, is Casey Alexander going to work? I don't know about his recruiting, and I just don't know. This guy knows, has a plan. He's not winging it. He comes in and he has a plan to go get players and coach the hell out of them, develop them, and use his first season to lay the foundation. Is he going to want to get to the tournament? Yeah, that's his effort. But I think the reality of it is show progress, show coaching, show players that have passion to play and increase the wins and be in contention for postseason. If not, go to some form of postseason. I think most fans, after what we just saw the last few years, would accept that. But football is now getting more NIL money, is now getting more resources, more coaches. They've done a great job in the portal. And if you've been following along, I think this schedule that football faces is incredibly welcoming to Colin Klein. The odds, I did a daily delivery on this a while back, but the odds from one of the sports books, I believe it was FanDuel, the top three schools in terms of odds to win the conference in that book are not on Kansas State's schedule, and K-State's the fourth. The bottom three are on K-State's schedule, and they're all road games, making three of K-State's five road games immensely winnable. I think K-State does make it to Arlington. The way everything breaks here, I don't know if that means K-State is the first or second best team in the conference, though, because the schedule is incredibly welcoming. It's going to make life easy on Colin, not having to face Texas Tech or Utah or BYU. So, yeah, I'll go with Colin Klein and football on both of those. Here we go from Emaw Wildcat 82. New football coach. Oh, new basketball coach. It kind of sounds like the old question, doesn't it? Is it time for a clean sweep and get a new baseball coach as well? Boy, I don't like talking about firing coaches until I'm ready to talk about firing coaches, but baseball ain't working. It ain't working. I'm going to say it. I don't know. Do you start again in baseball? Can baseball ever be what Kansas State football became? No, it can't. It can't. You can't get the pitchers. You're seeing it this year, aren't you? You understanding what I'm saying? Kansas State's been pretty fortunate to develop some pretty good pitchers. They haven't had the same arm strength this year, and it's fallen apart. If I'm a young pitcher and I have an opportunity to go play college baseball, I'm going to do it at a place much warmer than Manhattan, Kansas, where I'm not throwing fastballs at 45-degree weather. No pitcher wants to do that, nor should they. If they have any aspirations of a continued career in baseball, whether it's, you know, they just want to knock around the minor leagues and live life, or they have the talent to be a major leaguer, pitchers in particular don't want to come to Manhattan, Kansas. In numbers, you know, yeah, you can get them. You can get one or two, but you can't build a staff, and it's never going to happen. It's only getting worse. It won't get better. I have been quietly proposing adding men's wrestling and women's softball. I think it's time to actually look at it, and I know Gene Taylor's going to say we don't have money, and it's all true. But Baseball is an expensive sport. And to lose in an expensive sport, a lot of travel, a lot of guys, doesn't seem like good business sense either. I don't know. I don't see anything happening, of course, in the near future with that. But boy, I get to know these coaches and I like them. And Pete Hughes is no different. Really likable guy. Just isn't working, is it? Okay, next up. Oh, it's not. Oh, hold on. I didn't save it. That's what's going on here. Here we go. Oh, that's the wrong one. How did I get down there? WCAT, K-State Athletics annual revenue is roughly $100 million. This gets back to the daily delivery I just did. The Big Ten recently distributed around $70 million to each school. How's K-State going to compete long-term? Get busy raising money. Whether it's from donors or events. They don't lease out anything but Bramlage for 2A state basketball. As far as I know, I don't know that state tennis tournaments or volleyball tournaments or anything. It's just, I know football's not played here. That not only cuts off revenue, but I want you to just think about the ramifications of that. I was reminded the other day that Lance Leipold, when he went to Lawrence, said, we're going to open up our field for anyone who wants to play state championships here, et cetera. Smart. Now a new generation of student athletes have played games on the KU turf, have visited Lawrence and looked around town because they're in town to play a football game. They might not be a player, but they're a student who goes to Lawrence and then goes to eat. Leasing out your facilities is not just making money and making your employees work a little bit more. It is a giant stinking advertisement for your university. It brings in visitors who then learn about your school and say, hey, we just played a game on that K-State turf. It was incredible. I want to play there. I want to go to school there. The reflection of the entire university's health hits football and athletics directly. So if the university can get healthy, it'll motivate everyone involved. The synergy of what, I hate that word, by the way, I use it all the time, of what John Weefald and Bill Snyder did together changed Kansas State, not forever. For a very long time. We might be seeing the end of forever if they don't figure out this budget issue and start busting ass to raise more money again, either through donations or through entrepreneurial things that raise the money. Don't sit there and tell me having a concert at Kansas State that might bring in an extra million, but what if it's only 200,000? Are you really going to look at someone and say $200,000 isn't worth it? It's worth it. If I had my way, Kansas State's football stadium each May after spring football, but before the students leave, would host a concert, a replica of Country Stampede in a very controlled environment at the stadium. You'd have a Thursday night concert, couple acts, Friday and Saturday acts, and maybe a Sunday departure act in the parking lot. I don't know. One of the things that Manhattan had for many years was an audience of people that would come to Manhattan for a music festival, not just one concert. I think the odds of success with an entire festival are so much better than just one concert. We'll see how it all plays out. Money, money, money. That was kind of the theme of this edition of the Power Cat Podcast. And let me tell you, it's the theme of all things going on in college athletics right now. It's a stinking mess. But let me end with this. We all hate this in many ways. We all hate that NIL is spinning wildly out of control. Brendan Sorsbury was getting $5 million to play one season at Tech. What are we even doing? Oh, what is he, Johnny Unitas? Oh, it's Pete Rose. But it's just escalating at a speed we don't understand. And the fans don't know the players anymore because the portal fans or players come and go and fans can't keep track. And it stinks. It all stinks. I know it stinks. The NCAA isn't doing this. The courts are doing this because the NCAA refused to act and fix the things that were wrong in its own rules. And now the courts are saying, hey, you can't just arbitrarily decide a student athlete can't make money off of their own name, image, and likeness. The NCAA's caused this, but they can't correct it without major changes. All I know is this. TV ratings are up, revenue's up, and for all of us bitching that college athletics is horrible and awful, when you're the school that gets the players out of the portal, I don't know half my team, but we're 10-1 going into the last game of the season. That's good for business. It's all about wins and losses. It always has been, and it always will be. And I think what's interesting now is the appearance of NIL and the things that come with it have opened the door to others to participate at the highest level. For example, did you notice something? Maybe you missed this. The University of Indiana won the College Football National Championship. That would not have been possible without these changes we so despise right now. They got to get them under control. But I'm not ready to say these changes are bad. Just maybe that these changes need a little bit more direction, control, and guidance. Thanks for watching this edition of the PowerCat podcast. Still good magazine guy at heart. We'll be back next week for more. Check out the daily delivery on the regular. Make sure you're checking out the Big 12 Insiders. Big B's over there grinding through all of the Big 12 conference schedules, breaking them down. He's just started the process. Has not done Kansas State yet. But he will.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production.